You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
I understand that you think I'm the right person for this mission. I understand the stakes.
Object approaching.
If we do nothing, everything on this planet will go extinct, including us. Dr. Grace, the world is counting on you.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm Grace. I'm gonna call you Rocky. We're here for the same reason. His son is dying too. If we're gonna save our planets, we have to learn how to communicate. Check this out. We have about 250 words. Let's find you a voice.
Why is a school teacher in space?
Oh.
Nope.
Why is a school teacher in space?
Try this.
I am Rocky.
I like.
So I have a new roommate now.
Hi, Grace.
Together, we're pretty smart. But no one's ever done this before.
It is time go.
I think you're being go time, pal.
There are infinite possibilities for this to go wrong.
This ship wasn't built for this.
If Grace Rocky saves stars, we can go home.
I think this is a one-way trip for me.
I will not let Grace die.
Rocky!
And welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and there is Quinny, and there is a Jill, and there is a Peter, and there is currently no Rocky.
Aww.
But there could be a Rocky.
Ground control to Rocky.
Ground control to Rocky, Tom.
I love that Pete and I are both in...
Very lost.
Yeah.
I love this. This is going to be great.
In fact.
Hello. How are you guys? You right? Have a good weekend? You all fine? You're rocking and you're rolling? Yeah, we're all fantastic. Quinny didn't get the...
We had a great time because Dion forced us to go out.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
But obviously, Quinny didn't get the memo. You're supposed to be wearing white. On Wednesdays, we wear white.
Sorry. I'm going to stop trying to make black happen. Hang on. I'm not going to say that either.
Look, you know, we're all here. We're all going. Don't get changed. Don't make him leave.
Sorry.
Okay. We're here for it. We're here for a good time, not a long time. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And where are we sitting at the moment? Okay, so it's Wednesday. My timeline is completely fucked up today.
Wednesday. Yeah. Because podcast on Wednesday.
Yesterday we had to go to a screening of Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. Which I don't understand why they're marketing it as Ready or Not 2, Here I Come, because in the movie it just says Ready or Not and then Here I Come. And I'm like, that is fine. You don't have to say it's a sequel.
You didn't need to have the two. Yeah. But I guess people are like, well, hey, look, last week we had a film called War Machine and another film called War Machine, and there was another film from a few years before called War Machine.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So exactly. I can understand them wanting to be very clear on the fact that this is a sequel to the film Ready or Not. What we're talking about tonight is not a sequel to the film Ready or Not.
No, it is not. It is a timeline shift towards The Martian, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martian adjacent.
Martian adjacent. Yes. You've got to say Marshall Jason. Anyway, we're doing Project Hail Mary, which is the film that Sony is having a hard time marketing and trying to get out there and get people excited about it because it's difficult. I don't know
how?
Why.
How is it difficult?
I don't know. They are having
space movie with Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Okay, I haven't seen much advertising for it, and I haven't seen much like media and stuff. Like maybe I'm just not watching the right media. Also, I mean, you know, I've kind of been distracted by this potential like rush towards a world war that I've just sort of like.
Yeah,
it's fair. It's sort of fair to say like, hey, how's this movie doing? I'm like, ah, it comes out Thursday anyway, so this is going to be a review that is a little bit different in two parts because I don't want to give away too many in the spoilers because it's not out yet. Yeah. And also. Only Jill and I have seen it because Quinny and Peter
couldn't. Because it's not out yet.
Because it's not out. Yeah, it's they not couldn't out go yet, to the
and
other
we
one.
We didn't get enough tickets.
Yeah.
With their tickets.
Yeah. So
apparently Sony didn't want us to tell everybody about it.
No.
Yeah.
So I think Jill
but
tonight.
Thanks anyway.
Tonight our goal is to either persuade or dissuade Quinny and Peter and anyone in the chat. Hello, chat. Whether or not to see this film with the Canadian Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I'm still thrilled that I found that out last week. I was like, wait, he's Canadian?
Mm-hmm. And that took you a while.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these years. I didn't know. Well, maybe that means all Canadians are replicants. Is that what that means?
I don't know. I'm very excited.
We're just all confused now.
Yeah. I just like Ryan Gosling because I know that at some point in time he's going to become Ryan Goose.
We're waiting for the glow up. I'm glad whatever puppy work he had done has calmed down now because he's looking less cheeky.
Yeah, eventually he'll become Ryan Gander.
Him and Bradley, they all went and got their surgeries fixed, so I'm pleased.
Yeah.
Look, pun of
though at like, the same time.
Jim like Quinny's a little bit concerned about Goose and Gander as terminology, but
hey,
I guess it all depends on how he wants to identify.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Yeah. I will have to say though, top note and 100% pun award goes to Jill while we were waiting to watch the movie. But Jill, what was the pun that you made? That I was like, that's perfect.
That was a week ago. I can remember.
You were looking at the screen and was like, oh, this Ken's job is space.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it is. That's a great pun.
That's not a pun.
Yeah. It's a callback, if anything.
Oh,
I'll
come
tell
on.
You the dictionary definition of a pun. That is not it. But
sorry, I love that we're now going to do an entire podcast of the semantics of humor.
Yes.
Okay, space movies. Fuck the rock
first.
And get that.
First. Space. Jill's wrong, so note that down.
I am never wrong.
No.
She will now put you
I'm
into a space.
Quietly always right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can I just ask a question? Has everyone seen The Martian? Or did everyone see The Martian?
Yes.
Yes. And did we like The Martian?
Read it.
Oh, you read it as well. Nice. And did that then make you go and say, think, gee, I want to read Project Hail Mary from the same author?
No, but I might now before I see the film, seeing as we couldn't see the film before we talked about it. Maybe I'll do it in the right order.
Yeah, unfortunately, it still has that problem, which is I saw copies of the book in the bookstore and they are now selling copies of the book with a picture from the movie, so it's Ryan Gosling's.
That's not a bad thing. Also, I did purchase the book this week and I got the non-movie cover because I'm Excellent. About the non-movie covers. I'm like, I don't need the tie-in version.
See, I'm sorry, this is a total fucking random thing, but my favorite book as a child was The Neverending Story, and I only ever had the movie version cover, you know, like didn't know there were other versions of it. And so, yeah, then I saw many later on. I was like, oh, shit, I got the cheap, nasty version.
Yep.
I am looking forward to getting into it, though, because after I posted about seeing the movie, I had a lot of people contact me saying that it was their favorite book and that I should definitely read it. So I'm looking forward to that.
I've also heard that the audiobook is great. Like they had, so it was something that I thought was unusual. They had the narrator of the audiobook at the premiere of the film.
Oh,
and they were like, hey, you're fucking amazing. Your reading, voice work, and everything is incredible. And I was like, that's a bizarre and rare thing for people to go, we really like the reader of our audio books, and I'm fucking down for it. So go that guy.
There are awards for audiobook performances. Like, if you get a good one, it makes all the difference.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I will now just say Dungeon Crawler Carl and never move on. Okay.
I knew you were going to say that, and I was going to say that, but I just thought I'd leave it to you.
Everybody around me is either reading or listening to this book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good audiobook narration performance. It's like five stars.
Five-star performance. You know, three-star book, but five-star performance. No. Anyway, tell us about this fucking movie. We keep divesting.
Let's talk about it. It's based on a book written by Andy Weir, mm-hmm.
who wrote The Martian,
and starred in The Martian, as we all know. no, that's a joke.
Matt, is that a pun, Dion?
Yeah. Anyway, based on the book written by Andy Weir and produced by Drew Goddard, or screenplay done by Drew Goddard, who's done a lot of work like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel and Cloverfield and a bunch of other stuff, Cabin in the Woods. And it was coming out right now, and it felt very Martian adjacent because it kind of followed the same, a little bit of the same, but something very different, like isolationist person trapped in space based on science, you know, going around. But this time they gave them a like fun sidekick.
Friend, not a sidekick. They were together.
Starts off as a sidekick. But anyway, my question though is, and Jill, this is going to be quite difficult. What are we going to do for a synopsis? And what kind of voice are we going to have?
Because I don't have any clue what we're doing.
To do Microsoft Sam.
that's actually quite accurate to have Microsoft Sam do the voice, unless you can do a Meryl Streep, because they pull out a Meryl Streep at occasion there where they give Rocky the Meryl Streep voice for a second.
I cannot help you with Meryl Streep. I would love to try, but I am not there.
A vote from the chat for Clippy.
Did Clippy have of audio voice?
I think he was kind of annoyingly, you know, kind of hicky. Like, hi, it looks like you're trying to do a letter.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Which, I mean, even if he didn't, that was his voice in my head.
Oh, yeah. The voice you assigned him.
Yeah. Like the voice. It looked like you're trying to write a letter. Do you want me to fuck it up for you completely?
That just sounds like the DNA animation from Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Fuck. Well, mentally, for me, they're the same person.
There we go.
Hey, it looks like you're trying to create dinosaurs. Yes. You want me to fuck it up for you?
We're going to add frog DNA.
See, they're getting their money's worth tonight. Many shit accents.
Exactly. Okay. I have no music, by the way. Sorry. I don't know.
Okay, right. Well, the odds are I'll try and find some and put it in.
Because in space, no one can hear you scream, Quinny.
Oh, God. Science teacher Ryland Grace wakes up on a spaceship with no recollection of who he is or how he got there. As his memory slowly returns, he soon discovers he must solve the riddle behind a mysterious substance that's causing the sun to die out. As details of the mission unravel, he calls on his scientific training and sheer ingenuity, but he may not have to do it alone.
Ah, yeah!
Oh my God! Yes. You went way back to that Dr. Spargo voice to text thing on MS-DOS.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was it was definitely a shit accent.
Yeah.
You're so good.
I didn't actually pass any of the synopsis, so I don't know whether or not it was accurate. I was just offended by the monotone robotic voice that came out of your nasal cavity.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
Somewhere. It's one of the elves.
Yes, one of the elves that needs to go back in its cage and never come out again.
Get down and kill yes, okay, so he discovers he must solve a riddle behind a mysterious substance that's causing the sun to die out. As details of his mission unravel, he calls on his scientific training and sheer ingenuity, but he may not have to do it alone because he's got a friend.
He's got friends.
He gets a friend. Yes, yeah. this entire movie revolves around astrophage, which is a discovery when someone decides about what's the Petrova line. And that is all actually very good exposition that is handled quite well in a classroom in about 2 minutes at the start of the film. And I loved it. Like, there's a world-changing event, and he's a science teacher, and he's standing in the class, and he's basically got a bunch of kids asking him really difficult questions. And you're watching the conflict of him going, yeah, technically we're all going to die because the sun's going to get colder because it's being eaten by this thing that we can't understand. They're dots, and we've called them astrophage, and now you're not going to grow up. And they're just doing that in like a classroom where they're all yelling and screaming and like talking to him. And I'm like, this is an excellent way of doing exposition. Like, how would you explain it to a classroom?
Okay, that I like that. Though I did remember, Dion, one of the things that I think you posted into our little group chat not long afterwards was it was a lot of explaining.
Kind of, but done in a very natural way as they're trying to figure out, like, it's this thing called astrophage, but they don't know what that is. So the context of the film is it's Ryan Gosling, scientist, trying to figure out what astrophage is and how to stop it kind of thing, which is but doing it again with basically in one of those scenarios where it's like, I don't speak your language, you don't speak my language, we're both scientists, but how do we work out how to communicate and then work on the problem?
Okay.
Yes, because this problem is not just affecting our solar system, it's affecting multiple, like the entire galaxy, basically.
Like so thousands of suns.
So they're able to tell that this astrophage is like feeding on every sun in the galaxy. So they're like, but they picked up on a telescope that there's one sun that is not affected. So it's like, okay, why? So now we need to work out what the astrophage are, and we need to send a deep space mission to this sun to discover why that one is unaffected. And so, of course, if there's any other life in the galaxy, they're all probably trying to work out the same thing. And so that is how Ryland Grace and Rocky meet. That's their meet cute. They meet outside the sun.
But also, that's the title of the book, Project Hail Mary, because they discuss that really quite rapidly too. There's like,
you mean Hail Mary mission.
You're going to shoot these people off into space.
It's going to take them 11.9 years to get to that sun.
Yep.
And we probably only have 30 left until the sun dies.
Yeah.
So we got to get you there, and you got to send your probes back because we can't wait for you.
Yeah. I do love they ask that question too. Like, basically, they're like, why bother? And it's like, what else are we going to do? Just going to sit here and die and starve to death? We've got to do something.
Yeah. Like,
that's why it's called Project Hail Mary.
And does it have, so there is a thing in science fiction where, like, the idea that they have to travel 11 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there that realization at some point in time that by the time that they get there, something may already have happened, that then another ship has overtaken them or anything like that? Or is.
No. So the thing is, 11.9 years was the fastest they could get there because they discovered they could use the astrophage as fuel to simulate light speed. So they kind of invented warp in this movie so they could get to this place quicker because they had to save Earth.
Kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Look,
so it's not a wibbly wobbly 11.9 years. It's like it's going to take our Earth time, you guys 11.9 years to get there.
Yeah.
And then so you need to shoot your probes back quickly when you discover your stuff because we can only make enough fuel to get you one way.
Oh, right. And so the probes with any information essentially also have to go back at 11.9 years. So you're talking 22 years round trip for those probes potentially.
Yeah. Mm. They didn't explain the probe science on how they get back, but...
No, it's whatever. It's the same sort of thing. I mean, look, and it's also told in that
Austin, just go for it.
It's told in that really great, well, actually sometimes badly done, but this one I feel like it was done very well, because they tell it in a false timeline where you know, you have flashbacks all the time explaining how they got to the point of sending the mission. So you get this thing of like, what's going on now, which is in space, which is, you know, the thing that you're supposed to concentrate on. And then they keep flashing back to how they got there. And
yeah, right. Which I would be fascinated to know for the book readers in the chat, if that was how the timeline was delineated in the book as well. Was it linear, or was there back and forth? I'd be fascinated to find out.
You too. Mm-hmm. You can when you start reading the book.
Yeah, true.
But
yeah.
Also, like, they can chime in on the chat if they have read the book.
Oh, yeah.
I want to engage the
listeners. Yeah, and look at it go. There was a lot of back and forth in the book.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, other things I can give you. It's directed by Lorden Miller. These guys know how to have fun. They know how to set up a joke and pay it off. Mm. And they know how to set a sense of spectacle, which
I think they can deliver emotion.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the surprising things that I got out of this, was it was a little bit more emotional and a little bit more complex from what the setup kind of felt like. The first 20, 30 minutes of it is, it's kind of like, here's a bit of a shake about what's going on. We know that something's in peril. And then it goes quickly into, it's kind of funny. It's a funny thing. Lots of funny things happen. The characters are funny. Everyone's kind of making jokes about things, and it's a bit fish out of water.
There's like a lightheartedness that has to offset like the really heartbreaking, this could be the end of the universe.
Yeah,
basically. I was going to say the potential heat death of the universe.
Yeah.
Cold death.
Cold death, sorry, yeah.
And also that same kind of thing that was in The Martian, where, like, you know, he's standing there and he's just doing those video logs. To do this. Right. In this one, it's just more like, I'm in the middle of nowhere going crazy and I don't quite remember how I got here because I've been...
I love potatoes.
Yeah. No, that's in The Martian. That's not in this one.
I was like, what's
I love that your interpretation of that is, I love potatoes, and not like, potatoes are the only thing that are going to keep me alive.
No, I like this one because it was, you've got... someone who's been in an induced coma for 11.9 years or whatever it was.
Right.
So their memory is a bit sketchy. Like, they're not quite remembering how they got there, but they know what they've got to do and they keep forgetting things, but they can do math really well. Like, it's just that kind of thing, which is really interesting in a way that they kind of help explain it, which is why the flashbacks are really good. And then they used it as a very good conceit. And I will never give away the final flashback.
No.
Oh,
okay, right.
But there is an emotional final flashback where you're like, oh, shit, okay.
There are a lot of emotional moments in this movie.
Yes.
I cried.
Yes. Ooh.
I mean, space makes me emotional at the best of times, but, yeah, I cried in this film. And it wasn't because hot science teacher was going to die in space. I tell you, if I was in that classroom, I would have shot my shot. I'm like, oh, planet's going to die. Hey, teach.
You just write some things on your eyelids, like, love you.
Oh, God. No, India. Can we just stare away from this?
Jones coded.
Let's stare away from that. Jill, I have to admit, the only thing that I found completely unbelievable about this film was hot Ryan Gosling as a nerdy nerd.
Yeah.
They tried every trick in the book.
Biologist is slumming it as a teacher now because he can't hack it.
Yeah.
But he's hot.
Yeah. It's got the glasses that don't quite sit on his face correctly. Yeah.
And
the glasses
single are because he can't keep a good woman down. I don't
know. The shaggy hair because, I don't pay too much attention to how I do.
Yeah, my hair's a mess and I have like designer stubble. And are these glasses? Are these glasses doing anything for you?
Little teacher.
The slutty little glasses. I'm like, are they doing anything for you?
The oversized, stupid, shitty cardigan that he wears everywhere.
His fashion choices were amazing. They were really giving, like, oh, I don't care about the way that I look, but I do because these are a statement piece.
Yeah, absolutely. It very much felt like it was one of those, like, oh, this person is just a bit nerdy and nebbishy. It's like, man, fuck. If nerds look like that, they wouldn't have any problem.
Yeah, I really feel like some of the design choices were like a bit A24 coded. Even terms of like the color grading in like the flashbacks and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. You just needed a shot of like an ex-girlfriend under the bed covers.
Oh my god! Like sheets flying.
Exactly.
And then lying on their side.
There were almost moments of that with a cut with between like where you just you thought, ooh.
No, there was some moments on the ship they had like I guess what you would call their holodeck where there's like a little pixelated room where you get to see the beach and it was it was definitely our under the bed sheets moment.
Right.
But of course, you know, I mean, look, and also you get to experience, you know, the other cast members, because it's not just Ryan Gosling, it's also Rocky. And Rocky is a very Rocky's a very interesting character.
I love Rocky.
Yeah, very, very complex, taken from like a full kind of society and watching two people try to interact with each other. They are people, but two different people interacting with each other and learning, and you get to feel that personality come out. And that was great. You get to spend time.
What is Sylvester Stallone doing in this film?
He's literally there because they do show Rocky.
Yeah, he shows Rocky. Rocky's namesake.
Yeah, they show like, Rocky.
This is Rocky.
Yeah, this is Rocky. Okay.
That was meant to be a joke or a pun. I don't know which.
No, but sorry, Quinny. Rocky Balboa is actually in the film when you're talking about the character Rocky, just as an aside. To not mention it is stupid, but the film understands that, so it just does it in a quick way. Okay. But anyway, Rocky of I think unknown kind of species origin. They know the planet.
His planet
that he came
was
from.
Called Arid.
Yeah, Arid. He comes in. They get to meet. They get to experience what it is to have the first contact. They try and figure out ways of interacting and how they sit together. And it's really, really good. And by the end of it, Rocky is his own personal character, has a personality.
So you got on agency. Board with the CGI rocks as a character?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yes, because
would die for Rocky.
Yeah. The filmmakers did a very good conceit, which was by giving Rocky a human voice, it gave you as the audience the access to go, well, I'm engaged with this character.
Yeah, but Rocky also had like a physicality as well that added to his personality. So, very sweet character.
Yeah, very, like, you know, you can see from the trailer that we saw, you know, it's very geometric. It's non-linear, like it's asymmetrical, everything. And when you bring those two cultures together onto the spaceships, each of their own spaceships, they have to do that, and it makes it kind of fun at times and dangerous at times and other reasons. But, yeah, they can't literally be in the same room together because it's too dangerous for both of them.
The
but they have
atmospheres and the pressures are different.
And they've worked out how to communicate. And that's the whole thing. The whole thing is done through communication, and I love how it starts really slowly through, like, they kind of – it's literally a puppet show. Like, quite literally, they start off doing puppet shows to try to figure out what they're doing. And there was a very, very sweet moment when the human realizes just how dumb he is compared to this rock that is
rock alien. Yeah.
Just fucking going, Jesus Christ. Just look there.
You're so dumb.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, what are you trying to tell me? And it's like,
I should just look at the thing instead. You're not, it starts off with mimicry and then it goes just through this whole series of
lots of very endearing moments.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me about like cinematography and stuff like that. Where is it pretty? Is it well shot? How did you find the energy? Was it in like pacey?
The space shots were beautiful, I must say.
Okay.
You got like a lot of space shows that you see are very black with like dots. This was much brighter. which I appreciated, because it's like, sure, from what we can see on Earth, like, it's quite dark, but like, but that's because of like the atmosphere and everything between us and out there is kind of like dimming all of this. But if you're out there, it's going to be much brighter, I think, I would think.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful to see like a ship going through space and you just seeing like thick galaxies of stars, and it's not black with white dots. It's these beautiful like shades of gray and tones like that. And then you get a wonderful shot of a planet that they need to get samples from that is just stunning. So if you can watch this movie, please do it in the cinema.
Yeah.
Because it was quite awe-inducing to see some of these.
And
would it be good for IMAX?
I think so.
I got a point there.
Yeah.
So it was shot for IMAX.
There you go.
But here's the interesting point. It was shot for IMAX and then transferred to film and then redigitized so that it added film qualities to the digital imaging. So they shot it all digitally on IMAX, then they transferred it to film, and then they re-put it through because then they got a bit of the more, apparently.
Grittiness.
Sounds like a very expensive way to add grain.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what my thought too.
How much money could Sony possibly have? Do you think they're quite worried about that when it's like, hey, we're going to do this? It's like, all right, okay, fine.
Yeah. Hetzke does make the point of like, couldn't they just run it through an Instagram filter?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but then you've got to give all that information to Meta and they have enough information.
Good point. Well made.
You know, you've got to get through the astrophage. It's interesting too, as Jill was talking about some of the shots of the different planetary stuff that they were doing. It felt, you know, do you remember The Fountain?
Yeah.
Where they did macro photography of liquids in different lighting conditions and stuff like that. It felt a lot like that. So it all felt like you're looking at a real physical object happening, but you're just knowing that they could never shoot something like that at scale or do CGI on that scale because you just don't get that interaction.
I feel like there could be, just looking at all of the marketing for it, it does feel kind of claustrophobic in a way. It feels like there is a lot of Ryan Gosling in a small tin can.
Sure.
Is there that, or is there scale? Like, does it?
Yeah, it jumps around quite a bit. So because the timeline is not linear, you're going back and forth a lot of the time. Most of the ship stuff is, yes, he is on a very small ship. But it's not for like a good chunk of time. It's broken up with a lot of other stuff, with like the flashbacks and spacewalks and that kind of stuff.
And peril. You've got to have a bit of peril.
Oh, my God, peril. So much tension.
So much peril.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think my shoulders were up around my ears for the third act.
There's a couple of bits on there when they kind of, you know, just really ramp into that kind of thing. Because what they've done is create this such sympathetic area where you've got Ryan Gosling's character, who is quite sympathetic, that you sort of care about because he's there.
He's hot.
Yeah, and he's hot. He's fine. And Rocky, who is there, and they're both there for the...
Yeah, and Rocky's really hot too.
Quite literally. Like, he's very hot in that ship, in Rocky's ship.
That's true.
Gotcha.
But the narratives that they have of these two and what they're doing it for, because it's quite altruistic, and about how, why, the reasoning why they end up alone on this mission... and it's only the two of them, is very interesting. Like, it's explained. I mean, this feels exactly like it's not one of those and then films. It's like,
because,
you know, it's like all of these are happening for reasons, and the reasons get explained to you, and then sometimes they're explained really quickly and you don't know what's going on, but then it makes sense. And other times they take the time to explain how. But I think one of the good things about it, though, is at least when it presented Ryan Gosling's character as just basically, this is just an astrophysicist nerd who doesn't know much stuff, and then they get Rocky and they go, Rocky is a genius engineer. It's like, well, of course you're going to be able to put your two powers combined. You know, Rocky can make anything. quite literally. That's the his speciality in that species.
Yeah, Rocky's a master crafter.
Yeah, he can just he can make.
He's a master builder from Lego.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it's kind of like I feel like he's basically a 3D printing machine. Who does stuff like that? Yeah, yeah. He's just a small format 3D printer that can just do whatever he feels like.
He knits xenon. Like xenon is a gas, but on Rocky's planet, it is a solid.
Okay,
that's so he's making shit out of xenon. It was really cool.
Yep.
I also just looked to see what the general consensus is, and currently this is sitting at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
I'm really happy to hear that because I've got to it's if there's anything I can say to convince you guys is it's really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a good time in terms of if you want to watch a film, like go to a cinema, watch a film. It's all in the same thing. It's actually a really heartfelt and good story and it has a positive message. I think that's good. The positive message is kind of the same as The Martian. If you just put all the science together and go for a common purpose and work towards something, you're probably going to end up with a good result.
Nice.
I hope.
And if you want to see Sandra Hula, who is another phenomenal actress that is in this movie, sing, what's his name? What's the... from fucking One Direction, Harry Styles. Do you want to see her sing a Harry Styles song? This is the film for you.
I also
that's quite niche, but sure.
yeah, very niche.
This whole film is niche.
Yeah.
Also, one of the other cast members is Milana Weintraub, which is a name that many of you will not know at all, but I found interesting because she did a pilot that got picked up and then also dropped as the Incredible Squirrel Girl.
Like okay.
In the New Warriors pilot for Marvel that they greenlit and then stopped.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's also got the guy who plays the dessert chef in The Bear.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Forget his name in the show.
Lionel Boyce.
Oh, okay, right. Gotcha.
Yeah, and Ken Leong.
Yeah.
Remember Ken Leong?
So I'm getting a distinct sense that this is, a should go watch.
See it in the cinema.
Look, I've seen it. I'll review it. You know, I'd give it, oof.
Ooh, numbers. Numbers.
I'd give it like an 89.
Boy.
Yeah, it's like, it's a really good film. I love not knowing too much about it when I went into it. I love watching it. We'll agree with Jill, like, you know, you're there giving a shit about these two characters, you know, and, you know, a couple of hours in, because it goes for an hour and a half, two and a half, 156 minutes. What's that? Just over 2 hours. It's hard for, like, one character to hold your attention on screen for that long. So Ryan Gosling was doing a lot of heavy lifting, but he's really well supported by the ship as a character, space as a character, Rocky as a character, the flashbacks with other humans to help alleviate and understand why they're doing this stuff, you know. And then a good twist.
It's a bold thing to go, okay, we're going to hang an entire film essentially on one actor.
Sure.
But they also fucking did it with The Martian.
Yeah,
like, true. Probably very 75% true. Of that movie was just Matt Damon as well.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. But it's good.
Yeah.
Like I like
better
it.
Than good. I would say it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Are you going to give it a rating, Jill? Will you give it a number?
Yeah. I'm pretty high up there. I'm vibing with Rotten Tomatoes. I might give it a 95 though.
95. Hey.
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Definitely up there. There's just like a few moments that I think were maybe a bit I want to say like out of tone with the rest of the film. Like there might have been a few moments that were just like a bit of a lull. But otherwise, like it has been a long time since I've had like a very strong emotional connection with a film. Because everything just feels like cheap, contrived, or part of a franchise. So for me, like something that is an original idea like from a book that has been like transformed into this film, it's just refreshing, you know? Like, I wasn't familiar with it before I saw the film, so I really had a strong connection to it. And the way that they were able to build drama and suspense and tension, but also like give you the opposite of that with like really lighthearted and comedic moments, like, yeah, it kind of paid off a lot of the emotional beats. And it made me cry.
That's a winning thing for me in a way, you know. Not that I want to watch Jill cry, but you know, yeah.
It takes a lot to crack this hard shell.
Pete, now I know that you haven't seen it, but would you like to just rate it out of?
Yeah, unfortunately, sorry, I haven't had a lot to say because I have not seen it.
No,
so I will have to take your words for it.
Do you feel dissuaded or persuaded, based on ours? Our effusive mentions.
I feel persuaded to give it some time when I have some.
But if, as we have said,
she's taking the rest of the night off, and she's gonna go watch it.
Yeah, she can't do it tonight. It's not even out until Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Gotta try to do it on Sunday, and they wouldn't let me.
How dare they?
Sons of bitches. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Pete. I obviously haven't seen it, but you have definitely sold me on it. I am going to make a point of going out of my way to try and see it in a cinema. Sure. You know, there's a lot of things where we talk about it and it's just like, nah, wait for streaming. It'll be 3 weeks and it'll be on fucking Amazon or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Like Wuthering Heights. I'm going to wait to get Wuthered until that hits streaming.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas this to me sounds like something that I would want to watch on a big screen.
Yeah.
Possibly the biggest screen I can, depending on, you know, how much that's going to cost. But, you know, yeah.
Well, worth it, as I would say. It's like, you know what? Yeah, this is worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're still going to take in your own snacks.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. You're still taking in your
economy?
Own snacks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're still catching public transport to the cinema. You're still taking in your own snacks, but you're going to pay that price to have a nice comfy seat.
Okay, so is it worth me paying the extra money to go and watch it in IMAX, or should I pay even more money and go and watch it in like a Lux or something like that? Or is it just go watch it in a big screen, like a normal cinema?
Just the big screen. I mean, maybe I would have liked to have seen it on an IMAX, but to be honest, the VMAX screen that we saw it on at George Street is exactly the same size as the fucking IMAX screen in Sydney.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, it's just the picture's different. You're sitting fucking closer to it at the IMAX.
Right.
See it. Yeah.
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 You know, I mean, technically IMAX is a lot taller.
Yeah, it's like it's.
But they don't use it all.
It's a 4.6.
No.
And then this is a long screen, a wide screen.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
But no, okay. they're the same size.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, lovely. Okay. So we're going to go. I believe Dion has a clip.
We've got a few different options for the clip. Like, there's a couple here. Do you want to see the one where Grace meets Rocky for the first time? Do you want to see
the one
complaining about personal space or the school teacher? Ooh. Which you want to make?
We could do first contact.
The first one. So, like, you know, this isn't really like it happens for a while, but we'll go watch that and then we'll come back and keep going.
Work out what we can talk spoilery.
Is that me? My ship. I don't understand.
Oh. You want me to go back in my ship? But I just got here. Oh, okay. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
You idiot human. Go back in your ship. Eat your food, Tina. Yes, there we go. That is the very, very incredibly smart Rocky trying to get the idiot human to do the thing it needs it to do by building a little model going, fucking get back in your ship, you dickhead. Yeah.
Okay, this looks like fun.
Yeah. I can't say.
Is it scary at all? Is there any scary? Nah. Okay.
It's not scary. It's tense. It's like The Martian. It's tense.
Yeah.
At times because. Tension. Yeah. Because the
tension,
things.
But not scary tension.
Yeah.
Rocky's not laying any eggs in anybody. There's nothing.
The worst thing.
Straight up horror. No.
The worst thing Rocky does is eat, apparently. Yeah.
That was
yeah.
a funny scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's it. But it's all very, very sweet. There's no spoilers, just letting you know for this one. I'm not going to spoil shit for this.
No, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, we can move on to talk other stuff. There will be no spoilers. Go and see Project Hail Mary. I think it's quite good. It's quite worthy of your time. That's my distinct opinion. Jill probably agrees with me.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Go pray now to Project Hail Mary, full of grace.
Help me find a parking space.
I'm not quite sure if there's any more books that that are going to come
Andy
out.
Andy Weir.
The Andy Weir's doing.
He has another one called Artemis.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Set on the moon.
How long before they turn that one into the next movie?
Yeah, well, I'd like to see it because it's a female protagonist. So that might make a nice change.
Yeah. I see what you mean. There is a certain amount of...
testosterone.
It's a dude in space.
Oh, also, he wrote a Doctor Who fan fiction. Hilarious.
Love that.
Like, as a published work. It's like, I wrote fan fiction about Doctor Who. Ah.
Amazing.
So what else have we been watching? What have people been checking out?
I started One Piece Season 2.
Well done, because I haven't started it yet.
That's coming
thank
up.
Thank God we've got 2 weeks before we have to review it.
Yeah. Yes, thank God I haven't quite started that either.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. I mean, it still looks like a bunch of cosplayers doing a pantomime, but
yep.
I mean, maybe not everything is supposed to be live action, guys.
Yeah.
Especially something as wacky as bloody One Piece.
That's sort of my thing with it too. Like, I look at the designs of the characters from the anime and I'm like, I don't know that I need to try and see that translated into a human.
No.
But
you know, it's funny because like some of the costume choices, I'm like, oh, I can tell that this is very 100% lifted exactly from the manga or the anime because it makes no sense because it's wacky Japanese shit.
Which we can talk about in a couple of weeks when we read the whole thing.
We will, yes.
Slight ones in there. Peter, have you been watching anything interesting? Have you seen anything good recently? No. Nothing.
I'm trying to watch this fucking Manosphere documentary, I have to tell you.
I watched the Manosphere documentary, and I have to say it's one of Louis Theroux's least effort works I've ever seen.
I reckon he had to do fucking zero to make these guys look like shitheads.
100%. He just kind of stood there and just waited for them to talk themselves
into it. Some of the clips
that
I've seen where he absolutely dismantles them in a sentence is... incredible.
You know, most of those sentences are just him reading back their tweets.
Yeah.
Have you watched it, Pete? Is it something on your...
It's on my radar, but I haven't watched it yet. I think it's a really kind of difficult... I think it's a difficult one because I don't think that the Litharo is able to dismantle this culture in the way that it needs to be to reach the people who are involved in the culture. unfortunately. I feel like it would have had to be something very different to reach an audience other than people who already know that these guys are dipshits.
Yeah.
And I saw a really good criticism of it, and I've watched about half an hour of it. I want to come back and finish it, but an interesting criticism, essentially, whilst we are taking aim at these influences and these personalities, what we're really not doing is looking at their target. And there's perhaps a question to be asked about why do they appeal to young dudes?
Yeah.
And why are they such an easy target?
Yeah, why are young dudes like falling for this shit? And lapping it up, and what is it about their message that is so appealing?
Because they make the villain so easy. They just say that the one thing that is holding us back is women. They're so close to understanding that they are actually being oppressed by the fucking patriarchy. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, oh, no, it's women. And so it's just such an easy out for men to just to blame women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are like even worse off under patriarchy than these men are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw another really great hot take is that all of these dudes are suffering from like homosocialism, and like it's men just trying to impress men. There's nothing to do with women. It's like men just trying to impress men, and it's like the fucking gayest thing ever. All of these dudes are like oppressing their urges, and you know, it's just
the funniest thing. And
funny,
yeah, you're right. Like I find it, like as I said, it's kind of the laziest thing because it's so easy, and also it does not go deep enough into the causes, the consequences, and the. Right. The stuff that goes on to it just basically goes in there and goes, here's some people that are doing this and I'm watching them, you know, trip over, like I just stand there and let them trip over themselves, and then it's just
for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, it's a little bit point and stare, like, oh, look at these dickheads. And it's like, right. Okay, that does nothing to help. That does nothing to dismantle. That
just
does nothing to understand.
For about 5 minutes, and then it would be depressing, I imagine. Sure.
And one of the funniest things about all of this is they say things. Like all of these dudes on this show, because it is just fucking dudes. They're just saying stuff. And then when confronted by the reality of the situation, because they all have a girlfriend, a wife, a mother, all right, there's a certain amount of defense that comes from the women, like, oh, that's it. But then they're like, hang on, what are you doing? Like there is a question that you see roll through the eyes of all the women in their lives all the time, which is like, oh, that's just what this person does. They're just kind of boys. It's kind of like a fucking annoying peacock. They're just there. They're throwing the tail feathers up. They're screeching annoyingly, and you're like, "Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're just having a bit of fun." Okay, when you calm down, let's go and have a proper conversation. But you see, that is the problematic nature of the whole thing. And you know, they all know that they all believe that Louis throws out to get them. They're all very cagey. And I can't believe knowing that, walking into it, feeling like they're going to be challenged by Louis Theroux, and yet they still fucking trip over their own feet.
Yeah.
Which is where it comes back to that, oh, let's laugh at these idiots.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but those idiots are talking to thousands of young men and giving bad examples, and you wonder why stuff can get worse. Anyway, interesting. Like, yeah, hey, it's worth the time, worth the price of admission to have a look at it. But also, is it going to help? I'm not sure.
No, probably not.
No. Problem still patriarchy.
I watched an interesting one on the weekend that is now on streaming. Good luck. Have fun. Don't die.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's a new one from Gore Verbinski. So, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, Rango, all that kind of stuff, starring our favorite dancing man, Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
And it's got elements of 12 Monkeys in that he is this kind of crazed guy from the future who's come back to try and save. It's 12 Monkeys, a little bit Terminator, a little bit Black Mirror, and a little kind of...
Isn't Terminator already a Black Mirror?
Well, yes, yes. But, like, it's sort of a lot of that, the ideas of, you know, are we being controlled by our screens and our phones? And, you know, his whole thing is he's come back in time, turns out many, many times, to try and find the right group of people in this one diner on this one night to try to stop an AI from being put online, basically.
Okay. Right. And, gotta stop Skynet.
Yeah, gotta stop Skynet, but the way that it's sort of done is it's very funny, very strange, like very bizarre sense of humor a lot of the time, but quite enjoyable. Like, you know, there's it's got some great characters. Michael Peña is in it, and a bunch of others who I can't think off the top of my head. Sorry, I've got stuff in my throat. But yeah, it's a fun kind of a weird romp. There are times where it goes well and truly off the fucking reservation. Like, there's a few bits where I feel like Verbinski was like, yeah, but I really want to do something fucking strange here, you know? And then it almost becomes a bit Baron von Munchausen, a little bit Monty Python-esque at times. Like, it's definitely got Gilliam vibes, which, you know, 1984, Brazil, all that kind of stuff. Mm. So it's hitting a whole bunch of really, really interesting stuff. And I would say it is worth a look.
Okay.
Your mileage may vary wildly, but I think Sam Rockwell is eminently watchable.
Where can you watch this, Quinny?
I believe it's on Amazon, but let me just double check.
Sure. And speaking of things that are on streaming platforms and that we should be having a look at, what are we doing next week for the film and TV roundup?
Yeah.
I can say for one... Ready or Not, Here I Come.
Okay, you're going to talk about
that. Yeah, I'll talk about that for a bit.
All right.
Yeah. Next week. And I will also throw in my opinions on that. I'm tempted to retouch on Star Trek Starfleet Academy.
Have they finished the season yet?
We have finished the season.
I have not watched any more since that podcast. I watched 3 episodes and I was like, nah, I can't be fucked. maybe I'll come back to it. I'm happy to touch back onto that one again. Pete, do you have anything that you want to talk about before we set you some ridiculous goal you cannot meet?
I mean, I accidentally started watching PTS.
The what, sorry?
It's a kind of a new HBO show.
What's it called? Sorry, I didn't catch it.
DTF St. Louis.
Oh, DTF St. Louis. Right, okay.
Only because it started auto-playing and I wasn't really looking at the television and I only had my headphones in. And that's fine. I'm like, I'll just listen to this as an audio play, except that you can't because, like, 15 minutes in, I was like, I have no idea what's happening. I actually have to, like, sit down and watch it. It is, like, there's a lot of show don't tell. There's enough show don't tell that I became interested because I was like, this is nonsensical audio only.
Right.
Utterly, utterly nonsensical. Right. So it's a little odd. It's a little weird. So I might check it out a little further and see if it's worth talking about.
Okay.
And is Daredevil out yet?
It starts tonight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. March 24, I thought.
Oh, sorry, is that next week? I thought it was...
Next Wednesday.
Sorry, there are reviews coming out now. So maybe it is next Wednesday. Sorry, my bad. So people who have seen it are saying that it goes fucking hard.
Oh.
Which is exciting.
Excellent.
Yes.
I hope it works.
And Pete and I will continue to proselytize the Our Lord and Savior dungeon crawler car. No. One day there'll be a TV show.
Oh, that's right. Young Sherlock Holmes. We were supposed to be having a look at that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That has started.
An episode or two.
What's that?
Amazon. Mm. It's Guy Ritchie. So it's very Guy Ritchie. Right. You know, It's young Sherlock Holmes, but as a Guy Ritchie character.
All right, then.
Well, I mean, he did the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock's.
He did, but this feels very different from those.
Right.
This is, yeah. But I don't know.
The only Guy Ritchie thing I've ever enjoyed was Man from U.N.C.L.E., and that's not even his property.
But Snatch.
I like Guy Ritchie back in the early days, back around Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
What was that movie that he made with Madonna in it?
Oh, we don't
Swept
want to know.
Away Swept. Or something?
Something like that. One of those
to.
Ones.
You don't need to really, but.
I don't think of that. Didn't Outlander come out?
The worst film that was ever made.
And as in a new Outlander?
Yeah, is it last season 8 or something?
Last year. I think that came out last year.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, I'm very behind Outlander, so right. I would not know.
We'll update a couple of, like, we'll update the schedules to let you know what we're talking about, so it's not just this random thing. But anyway, that'll be fun anyway. Come for a bit of a roundup. Yeah. There'll be a whip crack, maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe there'll be a whip crack. I'm not sure.
Adsky asked the question that I was about to ask all of y'all here. What are your thoughts about the Firefly renewal, reboot, whatever? No, the Firefly animated series?
Hadn't heard anything about it until you guys were chatting about it yesterday. So I'm like, I'm too busy to work out what this is.
The original cast, who are still with us, have regrouped, Jill, and they're going to be doing a Firefly season, which I don't think they can call season 2. Can they? I'm not sure.
That's what they are calling it, but right. I don't know whether it's okay. Like
they're doing it animated. They're doing it animated style. Okay. So rather than live action. And
so they're cashing in on the success that Critical Role has
yes.
There, I think there is possibly a little bit of that.
An
there.
Animated version with all of the cast and make bank.
Yeah. And yeah. It look tentatively okay, but it has been a long time between drinks, and
I mean,
it is
that thing existed in its own little bubble of perfection, and we don't need to go back there.
And also, you know, Joss Whedon is given his blessing, but is not involved.
That's good.
Yes,
he's like, I'm
Adam
not involved,
Baldwin
guys.
Is
you're
involved?
Allowed to like it,
not
but
good.
Then we got fucking Adam Ball.
Yeah.
May like as well just have fucking Joss in there too.
If you're going to disinvite the misogynists, just disinvite all of them.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, like, I mean, hey, I'm down for them. They can get a few good cameo actors who are available now, like Sarah Michelle Gellar is around. she could
she's
go back to
keeping busy.
Yeah.
I mean, or you could just employ voice actors to do impersonations or, you know, bring their own talent instead of all of these people that have very steady careers.
I mean, I think one of the most interesting things about this whole reboot nature is that they got all this, they built this little bit of hype, and then they literally said, and now we're looking for a home, so who wants to buy this? And it's like, oh, okay. I see.
Like they're further along the path than you, like a lot of them, that in that they've got scripts, they've got a showrunner, they've got an animation company on board. My guess
is they just need the money.
I'm guessing that they've probably got a fair chunk of the change as well. My feeling would be that they're trying to do this to start a bidding war. Like, they're trying to do is build hype, get people talking about it so that they can try and work out which of the streamers is going to give them the best deal.
Well, isn't it just one person that owns all of them now anyway?
Yeah,
just go to Larry Ellison. Not like Palantir doesn't already know. Oh, sorry, Oracle. He's the data center. He's not the software that spies on you. Yeah.
I will also probably be talking next week about something that I've been watching, which is a show called Scarpetta, which is an interesting one, which we'll talk about next week.
Okay. There's a few things in there. That's good. Yeah. Thanks, everyone. I know we've all got busy things to do and getting to there now, and we know we're doing a bit more stuff yesterday, next week, but we've got, I say, go for Hail Mary. It was a Hail Mary throw, and I feel like they caught it, and, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling saved the world.
I do, yeah, I like that. I also like that they didn't shy away from the fact that it's like, you know, we're sending you off on this mission. It's going to take you 11 years just to get there. And then it's probably going to take 11 years for the information to come back. And we only have 30 years left of life. And they don't really shy away from that, that, you know, all of this stuff has been going on in space, but back on Earth,
shit's fucked.
Shit's fucked.
Yeah, right. I was wondering about that, whether or not, because that was always the thing with Interstellar, that like, you know, they were doing all this stuff and going to all these planets, and there are points where they're you know, they go to a planet and they've wasted 50 something years because of time dilation and everything, and you're like, what's happening back at home? It's all fucked, right? Yeah.
Less people. No eating. Yeah.
Oh, Adsky's saying, are we doing Super Mario Galaxy next month?
Well, we have to pay our own money because Universal reckons that the fans are going to prop that one up on their own. So there's actually no screenings.
No press screenings for that one.
Nope. It's, yeah. Well,
that's confidence.
Yeah.
Or...
So we're going to have the chat review Super Mario because they're the ones seeing it.
Yeah, like not sure. I don't know what else is coming up.
Really? Oh, look, plenty of stuff. No shortage of stuff. There'll be, though, the moment I actually don't. I mean, we've got a few things like the big tentpole-y things coming out later in the year. You know, we'll get a new Spider-Man film, which the new trailer is being released piece by piece around the world all day.
Oh,
okay.
Because it's a brand new day, so they're doing dawn in every thing around the. Okay. Yeah.
Was anyone super excited to see the June 3 trailer? Right after Timothée Chalamet didn't get any Oscar.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I loved seeing everybody drag his fucking Oscars look. Reckon he looked like a fucking reptile dealer from the South.
It was true. It was giving off quite a vibe, but I think he knew he fucked himself in the ass by attacking the creative industries that he is a part of.
And they had a fucking ballet performance at the Oscars. So I'm sure everybody was just watching for Timothy's reaction.
Yeah.
What I am enjoying about the commentary of Dune 3 is that finally people are starting to go, hang on, maybe Paul is not the good guy. And we're like, no, that's the whole point of this series.
Yeah.
Wow.
You should not be taking 3 movies to get there. I didn't even bother with the second one.
Like there are a few people who are like, maybe this is going to be his redemption arc. I'm like, you have no idea what's going on in these books.
Well, Pete, I hate to tell you this, but there's more books than movies. And it still takes all that time to get to the fact that, wow, Paul Atreides wasn't a good person. It's like, yep. And then his son is way worse. Anyway, it's fine. It's June. You can go through all of that.
Tari does not love the Dune films.
I like it. It's the vibe, and I also love seeing Anya Taylor-Joy with a mullet. That was great. I was like, fuck yeah. Go for it. Anyway.
Oh, something else I've watched. Sorry, I know we've got to wrap it up. Yeah. Jules gave me the look of like, shut up, Connie. I went and watched the finale film of Peaky Blinders. Which was interesting watching that in a cinema.
Yeah, right.
That's one you could definitely wait for Netflix.
Oh.
I would have thought that too, considering it had its whole life and a long form storytelling, and it's like, all right then. What's the job?
Yeah.
Stabbing. And then, they made a Peaky Blinders film. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Mum and Dad rushed to the cinema to see that.
Did they?
Yes, they loved it.
Did
Excellent.
They?
I'm glad they did. I'm happy to
I'm
wait.
Happy for
One
them.
For the boomers.
Yeah.
How many seasons were there? Like, are there 6 seasons or something?
6 seasons in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, having... I know, I got the gag. After watching 6 seasons on the home screen, I think I'm okay with waiting to watch the finale on a home screen.
Yeah.
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 It's like when they did the Deadwood movie finale, I watched it and went, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's done now.
Didn't need to be on a big screen.
So you're not going to go see Mandalorian and Grogu on the big screen?
To be completely honest, I'm still not thrilled by the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? It's wild. Like every time I see the trailer, you know, saw it when... So, did I see it last night?
Yeah, front of Ready or Not, and it was kind of like...
And I was watching it, and I'm like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
like, having watched it now on a big screen, I'm like, okay, I'm slightly more impressed by the visuals, but at the same time, I still felt like it was very televisual.
Yeah. To be honest, Jill, right now, Rocky is sitting higher than Baby Yoda. No. I mean, I just hopefully when they finish and they come out with the Spaceballs 2 trailer, they keep talking about merchandising opportunities, because that's what Grogu is starting to feel a lot like. Oh, it's a merchandising opportunity.
Well, I mean, they gave him, I mean, this is the saltiest comment that I did see, that they gave Grogu 10 minutes of fucking poorly written gags at the Oscar, and yet they cut the Korean creators of K-pop Demon yes. Hunters off after fucking 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Again, that's kind of a little funny thing at Sony there.
They didn't even give Grogu a gown for the carpet. He's wearing his little...
Yeah, why didn't they put him in something like, you know, a little bit sparkles? Give him a little bit of... Yeah, a
little tuxedo. Come on.
Yeah.
At least give him some fucking shiny rings and stuff like that. Put a grill in there.
At least Sigourney Weaver's line that she had to deliver sounded as robotic as a fucking power loader. Get away from her. Hit him, you bitch.
God.
Wow, it wasn't that bad.
Mm.
I didn't actually watch the Oscars, which I now don't regret at all.
I thought it was fun. All right, okay, that's it. Next week, we'll be back. Movie and TV roundup.
Yep.
Yes.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening. We'll see you
Thank
all
you
next
for
time.
Joining us.
Thank you for
we
joining
enjoy
us.
Enjoy you guys.
Yeah. Next time.
Okay. You know what? Try this.
Why is a school teacher in space? Ooh. Question.
No.
Don't like that voice.
Can't unhear it, really.
Scary.
Let's try this.
Ooh.
Nope.
Why is a
nope.
school teacher
no need,
in space?
No need to even continue. Good, nope.
Why is a school teacher in space? What's so funny? Question.
Why is a school teacher in space?
I mean...
It has charm, but no.
Why is a school teacher in space?
Why is a school teacher in space?
That's not bad.
I like.
All right. And in answer to your question, I have no idea what I'm doing in space. I don't remember.
And do a marathon. Vacation to the savage land for fun. Why? I wanna live.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes it moves. Until next time, stay awesome.